This morning is a study in forgiveness, a study of forgiveness, a study in forgiveness. And it's terribly incomplete. I can't get it all in 30 minutes. And turn with me to Acts chapter 5. There's a lot of scripture. I'd like for you to follow along and read it for yourself this morning. In Acts chapter 5, the principle of forgiveness of sins, as I studied this, became a new concept. You were atoned for sins by sacrifice, and your sin was equaled out, but it wasn't really forgiven. When you held that lamb, and as I understand you, when you brought a lamb, you had to hold it with your hands while they killed it, and it slowly stopped moving for your sin. Then your sin was checked off and equaled out. But through the blood of Jesus, it was forgiven. It wasn't just equaled off, it was forgiven. And that concept was new. And I believe the Holy Spirit prompted the disciples to even bring that word into existence, that phrase, forgiveness of sins. And we find it here first in Acts 5, verse 29. This was right after Peter and the disciples were put in prison for speaking in the temple. And the chief priests and the Pharisees and the temple guards put them in prison. And guess where they were the next morning? Miraculously, they were back preaching. And the prison doors didn't function. They were taken in the spirit world out and put in the physical world outside, and they were speaking again about Jesus. And so they were brought before the chief priests. And this is what Peter says in verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered them and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. For the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And flip to Acts 13. In Acts 13, there is a testimony of the forgiveness of sins. It starts in verse 36. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised up, saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified under the law of Moses." And in my study of forgiveness, I didn't see this before. Turn to Acts 26. Paul was accounted a disciple because he had direct interaction with Jesus. In order to be called a disciple, you needed to have direct interaction with Jesus. And Paul's direct interaction with Jesus was, as I see, was Jesus in I'm not sure what state, if it was physical or spiritual state, but the interaction that Paul had with Jesus was when Paul met him on the road when Jesus met Saul on the road and closed his eyes. And Paul, then called Saul, had the interaction with Jesus himself. And this is Paul's account of what happened to him personally. And this is what he quotes Jesus in speaking to him. And Jesus, in this context, brings up forgiveness of sins. Let's look for it in Acts 26, verse 12. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen on the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And so I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Wow. That is the beginning to understand it is only through Jesus that there is forgiveness of sins. It is only through His blood. And so, when we begin to grasp this, it becomes even more precious to us. And flip to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll look at Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 and some of the things that Paul has to say about forgiveness. Ephesians 1, verse 7, Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in Him." We have the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. And in Colossians 1, verse 13, he says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And so I wrote, not to the glory of ourselves, but to the humbling recognition of the full holiness of God our Father, that we are powerless to forgive or be forgiven apart from Christ and His shed blood on our behalf. And it is upon this recognition that we must earnestly seek the very words of Jesus Himself. What did Jesus say about forgiveness? This is the outcome. I've read the outcome of what happened after Jesus' life and death. I've just read what the disciples, how they connected the dots and what they made it happen. So let's go back and say, what did Jesus say? What did He say when He was here on earth? What did He say about forgiveness? And we find it in Matthew 18. One of the references in Matthew 18. These are red letter words. Matthew 18 is very familiar. We all kind of have our own thought when you hear Matthew 18. And as I looked at Matthew 18, the whole chapter felt kind of choppy and disjointed. It didn't flow to me as I read it. It kind of felt to me like Jesus was speaking at different times and maybe the disciples, you know, kind of cut and paste. But then I kind of looked at chapter 18 again. And I felt that the chapter was complete. It actually makes a progression through different thoughts based on and around sin. And I'm not going to develop that study here. But for those of you who enjoy homework or deeper Bible study, look again at Matthew 18. Through the eyes that Jesus has a complete conversation and dialogue about sin. And we're going to key in on one of the aspects in this dialogue, and it's about forgiveness as it relates to sin. And we're going to begin at verse 21. And yes, again, Jesus begins talking of sin. In Matthew 18, verse 21, "And Peter came to Him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. And then Jesus, as again our perfect example and perfect orator, begins to craft a story to make that point. Nobody can tell stories like Jesus did. He is a master. And so we look at the story, the parable that we call it, how Jesus then explained what he means when he says, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. In verse 23, Jesus tells us, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And we began to settle accounts. One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, pay me what you owe. And so this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart will not forgive his brother's trespasses. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. And so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The power of God's word 7 times. Turn to Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. These, brothers and sisters, are red letter words. This is what Jesus spoke while he was here about forgiveness. And if your Bible has a subtitle, it probably says forgiveness and prayer. Mark 11, 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I'm not going to read that seven times, but I probably should. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Brothers and sisters, it is simple. Do you want to be forgiven? Then you forgive. It's simple, but it's really hard. So I was mowing my yard yesterday. I was mowing around my peach trees. And I came around and I saw a nice red peach. So I watched for it. When I came around again, I got that peach. And there's nothing quite like a juicy peach, you know, especially when you're hot and you're mowing the yard. It doesn't matter if something drips down your chin. And I bit into that peach with full gusto, you know, anticipation of the juiciness. But I got a big, hard chunk of green peach. It's terrible. Talk about a letdown. A green peach is actually worse than nothing. I mean, it makes your mouth dry, your lips shrivel up. It's terrible. It's really bad, especially when you think you're going to have something soft and sweet. Did you ever ask? Did you ever have someone ask you to forgive them, but then they didn't really mean it? Sort of like, will you forgive me? You know, but then they don't change. They might even do the same thing again and again. You know, when asked forgiveness isn't real, it feels like a green peach in your mouth. Just kind of leaves you dry. I think you know what I mean. If asked forgiveness isn't real, it tastes terrible. Worse than if you didn't ask for forgiveness at all. Asked for but unsincere forgiveness leaves a nasty taste in your mouth so that you want to spit it out. Now close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm not praying, but I don't want to see your face when I ask you this. What do your requests for forgiveness taste like in God's mouth? What do your requests for forgiveness taste like in God's mouth? Is it a ripe, sweet flavor in God's mouth, or is it, or in your unsincerity, do you leave a dry, green taste in God's mouth? Are you sincere when you ask God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you? Are you sincere? Please, take some time right now and get sincere about forgiveness, because He is. Dear God, we are humbled again by your ability to forgive. God, we are unworthy, and yet you stand with your arms wide open. God, we believe, help our unbelief. God, I pray for those who are in a battle right now. Give them the strength to stand strong for you. Amen. So, as we continue on, when did Christ forgive us? We must bring this thought into our discussion on forgiveness. When did Christ forgive us? You know? Romans 5, you can turn there. Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6, beginning at verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." God forgives us when we ask. But the price was paid long before we asked. The price was paid before we ever thought about asking. The price was paid when we were still sinners. In recognizing when Christ forgave us, we must also reason that with him as our supreme and perfect example, we must also forgive others when? Before they ask us. Did Jesus come up to you and tell you that he forgave you? Is that how you got saved? Jesus came up and said, "I forgave you." No, it's not what happened. You found out after the fact. And again, as Christ is our example, we must also forgive others without two things. First, we must forgive others without waiting for them to ask us. And second, we must forgive others without telling them that we forgave them, because that's what Christ did for us. We must forgive others without them asking us for forgiveness, and we must forgive others without us telling them that we forgave you. To truly be Christ-like and to be like his example, we are to forgive people long before they come and ask us. And so like Christ, we can say, "You are forgiven." Turn to 1 John. Chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. First John 4, verse 9. "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Brothers and sisters, we count Jesus' precious blood as naught when we refuse to forgive each other. We cheapen the price of his sacrifice when we refuse to forgive each other. I don't know how this is going to work, but it came out of my pen, so I'm going to try it. And this is a forced and coerced exercise, but with as much meaning as you can. Turn to the person to your left and then to your right and tell them that you forgive them. Forgiveness is the key that opens the gate to our salvation and eternal life. And you cannot open the gate of forgiveness only wide enough to just let you squeeze in. And the gate of forgiveness is meant to be swung wide open. The path may be narrow, but the invitation to forgiveness is open wide to all. The more we understand forgiveness, the more humble we become. And we begin to see things as David did, possibly. Turn to me with Psalms, to Psalms 32. In Psalms 32, verses 1 to 5, when we understand forgiveness, we become more humble. In Psalms 32, David says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." There is no rest. There is no peace, there is no hope apart from the forgiveness of God our Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. As David has reminded us, when we acknowledge our sin and confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, through his stripes we are healed. And then comes forgiveness like a flood, like a flash flood that wipes away all of our iniquities. When we ask him, he says, "I already paid the price for you. You are forgiven." And yes, you are forgiven every time you ask, every time, again and again. We're going to look into the mirror of God's Word one more time this morning. Turn to Psalms 130. Psalms 130 is a mirror. In what verse do you find your mirror? Verse 1. "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord." Are you walking in the depths away from God this morning? Verse 2, "Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." Are you the one who feels lost calling out to God with a loud voice, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" Verse 3. "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Are you the one here shamed to stand before the Lord because of your sin this morning?" Verse 4. "But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." Are you the one who is freshly forgiven, even if it was just a few minutes ago? Are you standing with renewed holy fear of God, your Maker, this morning? Is that you? Verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I do hope." Are you waiting some on the Lord while feasting on His word? Is that you this morning? Verse 6, "My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Is this you? Are you really waiting and expecting and with excitement, waiting and yearning and longing for that glorious day? Is that you this morning? Verse 7, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption." Is this you this morning? Have you reaffirmed your hope in the Lord this morning? Have you been reacquainted with His mercy? Have you been inspired to live for Him because Jesus died for you? Is that you this morning? I'd like for you to stand as I read Psalms 130, 1-7. You may follow along, but look into your own mirror of your heart as I read this. When I get done reading this psalm, I'll close with a prayer, and the chorister will come and lead us in song. Psalms 130. "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in His word. I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption." Amen. Dear God, we are again humbled by Your word and by the greatness and the fullness of Your forgiveness, if only we must ask for it. You are there, immediately, open-armed, ready to forgive us. God, why do we choose sin? God, I can't ask for an altar call this morning, for there would be no one left to pray for us. God, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, if there is someone that you are speaking to, that you, God, wants to confront this morning, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would speak boldly and clearly, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt. God, I would also pray that you would prompt someone to come pray with that brother or sister. God, I ask you that you would minister to them and prepare them. That they would know, God, that they don't have to be perfect, but they have to be willing. God, It is a strange thing when we look at sin and continue in it. God, help this brief look at forgiveness shine a light into the dark places that sin has a hold of. God, there are battles going on right now in the hearts and in the minds of those folks standing before you. God, your forgiveness is complete. It's real. It's full. It is not condemning. It is loving in every way. God, I pray that you would give those folks who are hearing the call to come front to be strong. God, we again are humbled by the amount that you forgive us again and again and again. Help this time to be encouragement to all of us, that we may go forth from this place forgiven. God, the joy that you give us comes from forgiveness. May we wear forgiveness when we greet others. May we wear forgiveness on our face in our homes. And I know, God, that's not real easy. May we wear your forgiveness in our workplace. May we put on your forgiveness in the morning. May it clothe us through the day so that when others see us, they see your forgiveness. Because, God, that's what we need. God, I release your spirit to move in this place so that forgiveness would reign true and there would be no fear. That sin would have no place here. That your precious blood would run down on all of us. We thank you for, again, the power of your word. And I release you to work in the hearts of the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. And the chorister may come and lead us in song. Respond as God leads you.